Hello, everyone. My name is Lori Pinkert. Thank you for listening in to On Writing. Here, we don't just think about writing as a noun that can be described as good or bad, but instead as a verb that often transforms our ways of thinking, knowing, and being in the world. Today's Writers Speak edition of On Writing is brought to you as part of an annual event that showcases the culture of writing supported by the Department of Writing and Rhetoric's First Year Composition Program, the department's BA and MA programs, the University Writing Center, and the Center for Writing Excellence's programs that support writing within and across disciplines. Today, you'll hear from two seniors, one in computer science and one in biotechnology, as they talk about their writing experiences and their disciplines and their everyday lives. The field of writing, rhetoric, and composition has maintained a long-standing commitment to valuing the work of writers across ages, domains, and levels of expertise. So today, we hear from these writers, who are admittedly still learning some conventions of writing in their respective fields, but are also far more expert than I in writing across many other domains. Let's listen to their thoughts on writing.
My name is Ashley Hart. I am a senior in computer science. I'm actually slated to graduate this semester.
My name is Jean J. Jerome, pronouns he, him, his. I'm a fifth-year undergraduate student at the University of Central Florida, majoring in biotechnology.
Ashley and Jean are in fields where students may not always imagine themselves to be writers. So I asked them each to describe the kinds of writing they find themselves doing in their majors.
So it's a lot of very fine detail, very specific measurements and being able to briefly, but in a very explanatory way, explain what your findings were, then communicate that to an audience. So I more or less find myself, especially in that biotech career path I'm in, is doing a lot of lab report type work and reporting data and findings. And then also with the research that I do associated with that is just kind of taking all the information that I receive and figuring out some way to communicate that to a knowledgeable or knowledgeable audience in an effective way.
Computer scientists, we don't really write until we get to our junior year and they start having us write these technical documents. And I have yet to meet a computer science person that really likes writing those documents because they're so long and they have to make diagrams. And they're important because you definitely need to outline what the software is supposed to do, what the software should not be able to do. You should need to outline use cases. Why are we making the software? Deployment strategies, how we're going to host the software. Everything about the software needs to be written down somewhere and contained. It's very important because God forbid something goes down, you need a blueprint to build back up from.
Like most writers who are encountering new situations, new expectations, and new areas of knowledge, Ashley and Jean noted the complexity of learning to write within the disciplinary conventions of their respective fields, and the difficulty of writing to faculty who are far more expert than they are. So I asked them what strategies they've used to try to meet the writing expectations of their majors.
So, you go to Google, you watch videos, you learn how to make diagrams, you find the pre-existing documents and try to read those and emulate those, which is how I also learned how to kind of get better at academic writing. When I did my research internships, I would read papers and try to emulate the style of those papers. Computer science is a collaborative field. It feels very isolated because it's just you and your box of magic, but you gain so much more by interacting with people. Sitting down and watching tutorials is not going to get you there. You need collaboration. Really something that you have to learn by doing and by building things. And you have to just kind of put yourself in the position of, if I was not on this software development team and I was tasked to build somebody else's app, what would I need to know about it?
Sometimes it's something as simple as defining a couple acronyms. And then it could be a bit more intricate, taking a specific process and walking them through the step by step of why it does this the way it does and why it's important as well.
I talk to my mom a lot. So my mom is, she is currently working on her graduate education, but she's not at all a tech person. She is in education and, tech's not really her forte. It's also a generational gap between, which makes tech a little bit harder, but She is tech savvy enough for her job, but like not at the same level where I am, where I'm like building software and things like that. So I'm like, hey, if I sell this to you, can you understand it?
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. And then my dad also, who is slightly more tech savvy because of his job, he can say like, I'm following it, I'm not following it. She can do the same thing for me. So I talk to my parents a lot. And I also have a lot of friends who are not in my field who can kind of say, I can follow this. So I like to send like my drafts out to get that feedback, because it's very easy to kind of get in your niche and start talking in your niche, but sometimes your audience isn't always in your niche.
So the household that I grew up, English was never the first language. I still have my mom come and ask me like, hey, like, what are you doing in class again? And I'm just like, oh, it's organic chemistry. I'm working with, you know, conjugated compounds. And she's like, I have no idea what that means, but that sounds cool. But it's an obstacle and a challenge that I actually look forward to, just because if I can explain it to my family, then I should be able to explain it to any knowledgeable audience.
When I asked Gene to describe the people who influenced his decision to pursue biotechnology, his influential experiences in STEM were enmeshed in his early reading, writing, and communication activities.
Who encouraged you into the fields you're going into?
The first one would be my elementary school librarian. When I was younger, I used to read a lot of books. But they were mostly just fiction books on action, adventure, and fantasy. And it wasn't until, you know, I was sitting in the library one day and then she came over to me and she was just like, you know, how about you take a look at some of these books? And she took me over to the nonfiction section where I was reading books on science and biology and chemistry and whatnot. Pretty young and early in my youth, so I was super confused about a lot about it, but it piqued my curiosity. And I would say that's what, you know, initiated my interest in the STEM field. When I got into middle school, I met my next role model, who was very influential for many years of my life, who was a STEM teacher, also a workshop teacher. Through her, I also got involved in some extracurriculars. So I did the Technology Student Association, and it was just extremely awesome. And I would say through that, you know, that also challenged me to communicate in a different way, because now I've gone from, again, reading all these like fantasy and action books, and now I have to communicate to an audience that, again, enjoys more technical aspects and being able to disseminate very accurate information without writing a whole monologue, essentially. Now, there's really my peers, a McNair Scholars Program, that continue to motivate me to push beyond what my previous boundaries were thought to be. So they definitely keep me motivated. And as I continue to have conversations with them, very high level intellectual conversations, it one, you know, helps me develop my my communication habits, because now I'm talking to people of a higher caliber from multiple disciplines that are somewhat familiar with my topic, but then again, at the same time, it's very different from what I'm doing.
Ashley noted that her decision to pursue computer science hasn't always been easy, but that thanks to several mentors along the way, she's found her niche and is hopeful that she can mentor others as she continues to pursue her graduate degree and research plans.
I am a Black woman. I am in a what they call predominantly white field. It used to bother me a lot. What I used to say to students who I struggled with was, I would just tell them to fake it till you make it. But I think a better way to say that is to embrace the fact that you genuinely like what you like. What I would like to do is just kind of be like another role model, because I feel like if there are more women or just people in general of diverse backgrounds in high places, I feel like that's a place to enact true change. Like if somebody goes to university and they see like, oh, there's somebody that looks like me in this department, you know, it kind of like minimizes that struggle of imposter syndrome they may have. I hope that my presence and the fact that I love what I do will motivate more people like me to go into fields they may genuinely be interested in, but feel repulsed by societal factors.
Although writing in the university can be a big part of college students' lives, we know it's not the only writing that they're doing. So I asked these two students to share a little bit about the writing that they're doing outside their classes. Ashley described the high volume of writing that she had been doing for her graduate school admissions and funding applications. And Gene talked about the ways he's been continuing to hone and practice his communication skills towards stronger interpersonal relationships.
I applied to two fellowships. I applied to the GEM Fellowship and the NSFGRFP Fellowship. The NSFGRFP requires a personal statement and a research statement, and there's two very different types of documents, and the GEM Fellowship requires a brief version of a personal statement, really more so the statement of purpose, where they want to know why you have, like, why you want the fellowship and what you're going to do if they decide to sponsor you. And on top of that, there were a lot of PhD applications, and every university for those has like different desires for what they want in the statement. They want, some schools want a personal history statement. They want to know like your background, where you came from, why you're here, why you're applying. Other schools want a statement of purpose, and they wanted to know what you're going to do if you got into the program, and how you would really, they don't say it explicitly, but they pretty much want to know like, what are you going to do for them if they let you in, and why you're qualified to be let in. So it was a lot of writing and a time for a lot of introspection, but though that was the majority of the writing I did really these past 6 months, were just all of those, because I had to get those out. And I applied to a lot of grad programs. I applied to every grad program I considered. So I'm happy with what I ended up doing. It was just so much work. So I feel like the most important thing I ever wrote was actually the essay I wrote when I applied to MIT. I think that was the strongest essay I ever wrote. And you know, I may get in, I may not get in, whatever. It's just that I feel like that essay properly captures my journey to this point where I am now. I'm far from perfect. I will never be perfect, but I'm definitely a lot better than I was. So that essay definitely just kind of captured like I just feel very proud of myself, honestly, because it was hard. Getting here was very hard. So I'm just happy that I made it. And that essay just kind of captured that very well.
I'm wondering what other kinds of writing you find yourself doing on a day-to-day basis or personally. So beyond what you're asked to do in a lab or in a classroom.
It's usually a bit more like a communication based stuff. So it's really like talking from like one person to another. And I would say more recently is trying to understand how my communication habits can affect others. So one of the things I'm definitely trying to do is communicate more effectively and efficiently. So it's figuring out, you know, how can, for instance, for interpersonal communication and relationships, is how can I communicate this topic without making it not sound too overbearing, but also still being very specific. So that's something I've been doing a lot more recently, because I have been working on improving my communication. And just what that looks like is a mixture of like trial and error and seeing what works and what doesn't work, as well as understanding like the person that I'm talking to and what they kind of connect with the most. I do have one friend that I actually write like a physical letter to every month, which is a bit what they consider an archaic practice. But I think it's kind of fun to like handwrite a letter, put it in an envelope, and then put a stamp on it and just send it off. And then 2 or 3 weeks later, they get it in the mail and they show you a picture of it. So I do, as a person, I know I prefer to actually write pen to paper versus just like on technology all the time. And there's just something about that feeling of actually like putting it on paper that's so fascinating.
Yeah, 2 to 3 weeks later. So it's either going really far away or the mail is taking a really long time. One of those.
It definitely takes a while. Sometimes I procrastinate on sending it. And then sometimes like it just sits at the US post office for a while, but I do send it to the other side of the country. So it takes
So it is going a little farther away. Yeah.
Ashley also talked about the ways that her relationships with her sisters and their shared love for gaming prompted her interest in telling and writing stories that they could share with each other and maybe one day with the world.
My sisters and I would play like Smash Brothers a lot. And as we were playing, we would just give the characters like these random personalities. And I said, oh, some of these are actually pretty cool. Maybe, and we couldn't always play the game whenever we wanted to tell stories. So I said, maybe if I can try and try and expand them on my free time, like in my, on the notes section on my phone, or if we could document the stories that we tell, because we really enjoyed them. And that's really kind of where I came into creative writing. I actually still work on those stories to this day. They've definitely evolved into something that I really like now. I would love to be a published author one day.
Ashley and Jean also gave me a glimpse into their writing process and its unique relationship to reading in their lives.
I really love books. Anyone that knows me really well can tell you that I love books. And reading the books makes me want to write more. And in writing more makes me want to read more books. So it's like a positive feedback loop. I don't know if that's the correct term, but that's what it is.
For me personally, when I look at prompts that I'm given or I'm looking at some sort of dialogue that I'm supposed to write about, I very much think about it as like a storyline, right? And again, because the one of the ways I write the best is thinking about it as like some sort of narration. And that just comes from me as a kid reading a lot of books and being deeply vested in stories. So I'll look at it as in, okay, so this is the plot and I have to somehow spin this plot off and communicate it to the audience. So it usually starts with understanding what the main topic is, thus fine details of what they're asking for, and then creating an outline and then filling the gaps in what I need to include, as well as elaborating on what I can continue to include. Especially when I was younger, I would never look to writing essays and whatnot, but what I found is once you start writing and you get into that like really awesome flow, it's almost like it's impossible to stop. There's always something more to write down. There's always some story to, you know, expel from your brain and put it on paper. And it's a really exciting process if you let it be an exciting process. So I think mindset's a very important thing when it comes to communication. And if you're in the right mindset, you can produce some stellar work.
Before concluding our conversations on writing, I asked Ashley and Jean whether there was anything else they wanted to share about writing and its role in their lives.
What may work for someone else may not work for you. So it's important to figure out what your writing style is and what, you know, your process is, and kind of just continuing to excel at that.
Writing is very valuable. Of course it's valuable, but it's just that capturing of an idea. And honestly, my interest in writing goes into my interest in research, because you have the ability to write things that can be pulled by somebody in 50 years and potentially used to, you know, do something revolutionary in our society. So just having that record of an idea and a credible study that's peer reviewed, I think it's just invaluable. And I do think that anyone that would like to do research should definitely excel in their writing, because you need to learn how to convey ideas clearly while also adhering to the scientific process.
Hearing these writers speak reminded me of the role that writing plays in communicating ideas across disciplines and communities. Ashley and Jean return again and again to a concept we often teach in writing studies, the idea of realizing your audience, immediate and future, and of knowing that audiences bring varying experiences of their own. And so our writing within our disciplines, our communities, and our interpersonal relationships must account for that variation whenever possible, especially if we aim to be understood. This conversation also reminds me that writing isn't just for those who call themselves a writer. It's not just a thing we do in composition class or in the College of Arts and Humanities alone. It's an imperative across fields and an essential component of research impact. So as we end our conversation today, I hope you take away a new perspective or a little bit of introspection about the role that writing plays in shaping you. I'm Lori Pinkert, and this is On Writing.